I wanted to ask you this morning, are you a carrot, an egg, or a tea bag? It's an interesting question because many of you are probably saying, I'm a person, I'm not any of those things. But the fact of the matter is that we are like those things sometimes. The Bible uses comparisons to illustrate the kind of person that you are. And we see that all through the Scriptures. We want to notice, first of all, in James chapter 1 and verses 2 through 4, because this is really what we're talking about here, is how do we deal with our relationship with God, the relationship with Satan, relationship with difficult times, trials, and temptations that we face. James 1, verses 2 through 4, my brothers and sisters, consider it nothing but joy when you fall into all sorts of trials, because you know that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect effect, so that you will be perfect and complete, not deficient in anything. Now, that wording in that translation is a little different than the King James that we're used to. But it's interesting, isn't it? That we should have nothing but joy. King James says, consider it all joy. We need to think about it that way. And that's not the way we usually think about it at all, is it? But another thing that we want to notice as we consider this is that the way that Jesus did things, he often compared people to things that they weren't actually. We talked this morning in class about the time where he compared the scribes and Pharisees to whited tombs, to painted up graves, in essence. I think that's an odd comparison. A person's not a grave. Well, he did that on another occasion in Luke chapter 13, verses 31 and 32. We have the example of them coming and talking to him about Herod. Herod wants to kill you. And then in verse 32 he says, you go and tell that fox that I'm casting out demons and performing healings today and tomorrow, and then on the third day I'll complete my work. So he said, you go tell that fox. Well, now Herod was not actually a fox, unlike the Disney Robin Hood version where they actually had a fox playing the main role, a cartoon. But no, he wasn't really a fox, he was a man. But Jesus called him a fox. So why did he call him a fox? Because he was devious and sly, just like a fox. Because he's the kind of fellow that would get in there and eat the chicken eggs out of the chicken coop, you know, kill the baby chicks, that kind of thing, because that's what a fox does. Fox in the hen house, the old saying goes. So we need to realize that this is not an unusual thing to be compared in this way. So we want to do that, and we're going to start by looking at how some people are like carrots. Now, I've got a carrot here. Well, at least a little piece of one. And I used to think that baby carrots were actually just little bitty carrots. You know, baby carrots are actually just big carrots that they cut up in little pieces and then packaged them to make us think that they're baby carrots. That's just not right. That's deceptive marketing right there. But some people are like carrots. You notice a carrot, it's hard. In fact, Xander got one time. It was so hard that he couldn't even stab it with his fork. Tried to bite it, and it was literally as hard as a rock. We should have saved that thing. I don't know if that carrot grew around a stone or something in the soil, or if it just turned into like a petrified tree type thing or what. But that carrot was so hard, we couldn't cut it with a knife. We couldn't stab it with the fork. It was hard to run. They're not usually that hard. But carrots are hard. They're crunchy. We know that. But what happens to a carrot when you put it in boiling water and cook it? Well, it gets softer and softer and softer, doesn't it? Eventually, it'll turn to just mush, won't it? To where it, you know, it's just, you can't tell the difference in it and a pumpkin puree or something. You know, it's just orange mush. The carrot part just seems to have disappeared entirely. And that's what happens with the carrot when you put it into that hot water. Well, that's the way some people are when you treat them in a certain way. How do we react when we come up against God, when we face down with God? Well, we should be like carrots toward God. When God puts the heat on us, we should soften to Him, just like the carrot does. We should become tender and juicy and sweet. You ever noticed a cooked carrot tastes a lot sweeter than a raw one? We should become sweet and tender like a carrot when God confronts us. However, we shouldn't be like carrots when it comes to Satan. When Satan puts the heat on us, we should not soften to him. We should not give in and become mush when Satan attacks us, when he confronts us. We need to not do that. And we shouldn't be carrots toward trials. When hard times come, and hard times will come, we don't need to get all soft and smushy and wishy-washy. We need to be firm. We need to remain firm during those times. So, well, some people are carrots, but some people are eggs. What happens with an egg? If you crack an egg open, it's all runny and soft, isn't it? It's a liquid, just about. It's got that little yolk and some little thing, but you scramble that thing up, it's just a liquid. But what happens to it when you boil it? Bobby likes them a lot better. That's what happens. They last good too. You know, you take that egg, take it out and hide it, and not have to worry about it for a day or two. But let me tell you, after about 2 weeks, it really starts to stink. But you take that egg and boil it, and it gets hard inside, doesn't it? Now, I know it doesn't get hard as the carrot is to start with, but it gets harder. It gets firmer. And the more, now eventually you can overcook the thing and it will be inedible, right? But when you just think, uh-oh, this one's got a crack in it. I hope it doesn't leak all over me up here. Huh? When you get an egg with a cracked shell, that's not a good thing, is it? Unless it's already boiled. I hope this one is. I don't know. Xander says he gave me a boiled egg. I hope he's right. But had him get those for me this morning. But as we think about the egg, we need to be, when we think about being an egg, we shouldn't be eggs toward God. When God comes and confronts us, we shouldn't get harder and firmer and stand our ground and resist Him. So that's what an egg does. It gets firmer and firmer until finally it's not a liquid anymore. It's become a solid. And we shouldn't be that way toward God. But we should be like eggs toward Satan. When Satan confronts us, we need to get hard-boiled. And we need to stand firm and resist him. And not allow him to just pour us here and there and stir us around. We need to get firm against Satan. But we shouldn't be eggs toward trials. We don't need to allow those trials to harden us. You know, sometimes, and you know, with all of these, I didn't even mention it because we have such short time. I'll mention it real quick. When we talked about being like carrots toward God, Paul's a good example of that in Acts 9:15. When we talked about not being carrots toward Satan, we talked about this. We think about the seed on the stony ground in Matthew 13 that had no root, and then with the trials, we think about Demas. Demas got softened by the trial. 2 Timothy 4:10. He departed and left the faith. So we shouldn't be eggs toward God, though. We think about Pharaoh. Pharaoh hardened his heart when God pointed his face toward him. When God confronted Pharaoh, Pharaoh just hardened himself against him in Exodus 7:14. But when it came to Satan, think about how Jesus resisted Satan. Think about how he answered him. He stood firm. He never allowed Satan to push him around. Never allowed Satan to stir him up. And we need to be like that. But then we shouldn't be like eggs toward the trials. The children of Israel are mentioned in Hebrews chapter 3, verses 7 through 11. And one of the things that happens sometimes in our trials that we face is that, yes, we need to stand firm during trials. We don't need to give in to the trial. We're not supposed to be like the carrots we saw already. But we shouldn't be like eggs either, because what happens is if we're like eggs and we harden when we face a tough time, you know, there's something about a boiled egg. You can never unboil it, can you? Once it's boiled, it's always boiled. And sometimes when we go through trials, we become so calloused and so hardened by the difficulties of life that we can have no compassion, no mercy, no sympathy, no empathy with others, and we just become hard people. And that's not good. We can't allow trials to harden us like that, because then we can't be a good influence for Christ to the world. And so we need to watch out for that with the egg. But then the final thing that we want to look at is the tea bag. This particular one is one I don't want to try. Coconut mango wuyi oolong tea. I never heard of such a thing. I don't know, where'd you find that, Xander? Not one I drink. That must be one of Don's special health teas or something. But as we think about some people being like tea bags, how do tea bags react? Let me think about that again. You know, we saw how the carrot, when you put the carrot in boiling water, what happens? Well, it gets soft. When you put the egg in boiling water, what happens? Well, it gets hard. Well, what happens to the tea when you put it? It gets wet, right? But what else happens? What does the tea bag do? Now, eventually, I guess if you cook the carrot long enough in the water, it'll turn the water orange. But that, you know, that's not really the point. And the egg, you know, it'll boil the egg, but it doesn't really affect the water. But what does the tea do? The tea bag actually changes the water that it's in. It doesn't change. It's still tea. You know, it'll be wet, and you dry it out. Sometimes I know my wife sometimes reuses some of those tea bags. She'll use it more than once to make tea. Have to steep it a little longer that second time or third time, but sometimes you can do that. But the tea actually influences the situation around it. Well, some people are like tea bags. Now, the fact of the matter is, we shouldn't be tea bags toward God. We have no right to influence and change the things of God. Some people like to try to do that. They make their own rules. They change what God said. They try to turn it into tea instead of water. And we need not do that with God. Galatians 1:8 teaches us about that. What's more, though, we shouldn't be teabags towards Satan in the sense that, you know, we shouldn't be allowing ourselves to be inundated by Satan. You know, Judas's problem in John 13, verse 27, was that Satan entered him. The thing about a teabag is, now the good thing about it, the only way it will work is if the water gets through it. I mean, if you put your tea in your Ziploc bag and put that in the water, you're not going to get tea, are you? It's not going to get through that plastic. So the only way the tea bag works is it has that mesh, fabric-y type covering that doesn't let the tea out, but it lets the water in. Do we need to let the devil in? I don't know. Now, can we change the devil? We're not going to change the devil. His fate is sealed. He is who he is. We're not going to change him. We're not going to influence him. So we need to quit. We need to not think, waste our time trying to do that. And instead, as we said, we need to be like the egg toward Satan, not the tea bag or the carrot. But then when it comes to trials, that's where we should be tea bags, toward the trials. Because when our trials come, we need to let them come. We let them come in us and go through us. And we need to flavor them with a good flavor. We need to do that with joy. That's a little odd. Carrots, eggs, tea bags. Fact of the matter is, what we've seen here this morning is that sometimes it's good to be each of these things, depending on where you are and what the circumstance you're in is. Well, which one of these are you? Are you the right thing in the right circumstance? Are you being the right thing toward God and the right thing toward Satan and the right thing toward the trials that you face? Or are you got it all mixed up and you're allowing the trials to harden you and you're allowing Satan to soften you and you're trying to flavor God? You know, there's all sorts of wrong ways to do these things. You know, that's the amazing thing about right and wrong. When it comes to things, when you're talking about right and wrong, there's only one right. There is an infinite number of wrong. You know, what is 3 plus 5? Well, the right answer is that it's 8. But there are an infinite number of wrong answers. And those wrong answers go from, well, 7 or 9, which at least are close, that's close to 8 but still wrong, to things like, well, 15. Well, no, that's 3 times 5, not 3 plus 5. But I can understand how you got there. You just misread that plus sign for a times sign. It's not hard to do. Still wrong, though, but an honest mistake. But then some of the possible wrong answers are so far off the mark. What's 3 plus 5? Purple. Wait, purple. I didn't have any. Yeah. Nothing to do with numbers. And so some of the wrong answers are so far off. But there are so many ways you can get it wrong. There's only one way to get it right. And that's the way it is when God gives us a right or wrong choice. When He says this is what's right, anything else is wrong. Now, some of the wrongs we may be close. Some of the wrongs it might be understandable how we misunderstood it and got the wrong answer. Some of them are just so far out that nobody can even figure out how we ever thought that that was the way it ought to be. Are you a carrot, an egg, or a tea bag? Let's be the right things in the right circumstances so that we can treat God the way we should treat Him, treat the devil the way we should treat him, and deal with trials and tribulations the way we should deal with them. If you have a need to respond to God's invitation this morning, if because maybe you haven't dealt with trials right, maybe you haven't dealt with Satan right, maybe you haven't dealt with God right, and you need to correct those things, whatever the problem is, please come as we stand and as we sing.